thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster. And a little show note, the show last week where I wheeled at the gavel, although I was wrong in my court, we appealed it, and it's still with the appeal, so my record is still perfect, 3-0.
That's
so
right.
We're waiting for the decision to come back from the appeal court.
That's right. We're at the district court level, so right. We're still trying to see what the circuit might do in this particular case. So. To be determined.
To be determined at a later time. And who knows? You know, it may come back that way.
May come back in your favor.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will. I've talked to some people out in that state. So. What do you have for us this morning, Andrew?
You never know about the Ninth Circuit.
It's the Ninth Circus.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. They can go any direction.
they usually do. All right. What's on tap today?
Well, I wanted to do a show on transfer taxes, and, you know, I like to do this show a couple times a year because I think it's important. And, you know, we had a question in our office yesterday regarding, you know, what to do right now relative to gifting assets versus leaving assets through your estate. And that's what we mean by transfer taxes. We mean transferring wealth to the next generation and how best to go about that. And so, you know, currently where we sit right now, Mike, subject to change, obviously, we got a November election here around, but where we sit right now is an $11.5 million exemption for transfer tax purposes. So what do I mean by transfer tax purposes? I mean both gifting and estate taxes. You have $11.5 million. And remember, when we're talking about transfer taxes, the person who is giving or leaving the assets to their beneficiaries or heirs is the individual who's responsible for these taxes. So, you know, if I make a gift to you and you don't have to worry about paying it. You just put the cash in your pocket and call it a day. The giftor is the one that ends up paying any potential tax. The person who dies is subject to potentially estate tax. But again, we got high levels here, $11.5 million. On the gift tax side, we have an annual exclusion of $15,000. So what does that mean? That means every year, Mike, you can give anyone up to $15,000 and not have to pay tax nor report that to the federal government that $15,000 was given to a various individual.
Yeah.
So, you know, our listeners out there are thinking, well, hey, Andrew, you just told me I've got $11.5 million lifetime exemption that I can use for either gifting or through inheritance. I've got a $15,000 annual exclusion that I can give every year, you know, give the grandkids a little something. Mm-hmm. Why not go ahead and make a very sizable gift towards the end of this year? You know, why not go ahead and just say, I don't need, you know, certain assets that I have. I'm getting older. I kind of just want the younger generation to have these assets. Sure. And I'm hearing about maybe the estate tax level coming down. Why don't I go ahead and just give these assets? Well, the devil's in the details, Mike.
Of course, it always is.
Because what happens is that gift tax means carryover basis and estate tax means stepped up basis. So let's go into a little example. So carryover basis just means that whatever I buy an asset for, if I gift that asset to you, you take my tax basis. So that always sounds complicated in word form, but if we put it in math, then individuals seem to understand it a lot better. I buy something for $1.
Right.
It's now worth $100. I gift that asset to you, Mike, and you turn around the very next day and you sell it. Your basis in that asset is the $1 cost basis that I bought that asset for. That's why we call it carryover basis. My cost basis carries over to Mike. Mike sells his asset that I just gave him for $100. He has to pay capital gain on $100 minus $1,
$99.
That's carryover basis. Stepped up basis is where I, unfortunately, I will be no longer with us in a situation where we have step up basis. I leave that same asset to you under my will.
Mm-hmm.
That same asset goes over to Mike. Same scenario. I bought that asset for $1. It's now worth $100. You get a step-up basis. That means that the asset that you receive is worth $100. $100 minus $100 is what?
Zero.
Zero. Capital gains. No capital gains. So we get this question a lot from our clients, which is, why shouldn't I go out there and do some, you know, big-time gifting right now? And the answer is, what kind of assets do you have? Do Do you have highly appreciated assets? Do you have those built-in gains where there's tax that's lurking? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the facts and circumstances and scenarios around you wanting to give this asset to this individual? Is it something that we could maybe give something else? Is it something that, you know, that's not highly appreciated? Is there other opportunities to make sure that we get what you want to have happen? But we have to be very cognizant. That's why I say the devil's in the details with this, Mike, because, you know, just because you have this big exclusion out there doesn't mean rush and go try to use it before the end of this tax year because you're concerned about tax laws changes or anything like that. But there could be scenarios where we do want to use that. And we have to look at the details mm-hmm. to determine whether or not it's a good idea for our clients and whether or not gifting versus leaving assets through their estate is going to be better for the client's individual situations. And what I always tell clients, Mike, is don't let the tax consequence be the end-all, be-all, say-all. Don't let that be the ultimate factor in whether or not you do what you ultimately want to do with a particular asset. It's a factor, and it's a big factor, because obviously people don't want to pay Uncle Sam any more than they have to pay Uncle Sam. But if you really, really, really want to give this property to your grandkid, and it just so happens that it may cause a tax consequence somewhere down the road, because we know, like, if you give a beach, let's say you're going to give a beach house to a kid. And you say, okay, I want this grandchild to have this beach house, and I bought it for very low value, and I want to give it to him. I'll talk about different scenarios about what you can do to try to mitigate tax consequences, such as retaining a life estate in that property and giving a remainder interest. We talk about that. But you just go, I want to get rid of this beach house. I don't want it anymore. And I want them to have ownership, and I want them to start paying the property taxes, and I want them to start paying and learning about the responsibilities of home ownership. And we all know, we're sitting in the room, and we all know that that grandchild's not going to go sell that beach house the very next day. I mean, they're going to hold on to this thing. It's a family beach house. It's mm-hmm. been in there for years. That might mitigate some of the tax consequences because of that value of trying to transfer that asset, seeing that individual enjoy that asset. You know, that might overcome the potential tax issue of not getting step up tax basis somewhere down the road for that individual. So, you know, the big thing here is that we have to go to the micro level when we talk about gifting assets or leaving assets through the estate plan. And the general rule right now is we want assets to be kept in your estate. We want your will to pass out assets. And why do we want that? Because we want to take advantage of that step-up basis, mm-hmm. and we want to take advantage of that income tax planning for our beneficiaries to make sure they're getting the most bang for their buck, so to speak, in assets that you've worked so hard for and that you want to transfer to that next generation.
You know, I'm looking at the note here of the $11.5 million exemption, and I don't know if we didn't touch on it in this broadcast. We have in previous ones. That's not etched in stone.
Yeah, that's not etched in stone.
And that comes down. That will be adjusted.
Correct. 2026 is the sunset provision. It'll go back down to $5 million if nothing else happens.
Right.
You know, and then we've talked about elections have consequences, and we're not quite sure, you know, what the end of this year is going to hold, beginning of next year, really. Mm-hmm. You know, presidents in their first 100 days, if we end up having a new administration come in, tend to be fairly active.
Yeah.
Especially
100 days.
Yeah. Especially if there's a, you know, a change in the congressional makeup as well. Mm-hmm. So we're obviously have our finger on the pulse at Harvell and Collins, and we've had a show already about what are the plans. You know, everyone can have a plan, but whether you can get it passed or not, it's another story, mm-hmm. You know, relative to taxation. And so obviously we're keeping our finger on the pulse there. But what I wanted to tell our listeners today through this show is that don't let a potential election consequence that we don't know which direction this is going to go. I mean, the polls keep tightening every day. Don't let that be a factor in saying, I'm going to make a knee-jerk reaction and then cause yourself a big tax problem.
Right.
I've had heartbreaking scenarios, Mike, where I've had individuals in the office who, hey, my grandparent gave me this beach house and now I'm looking to sell it. And I'm sitting there looking, when did your grandparent buy that house? Oh, back in the 1940s.
It was $5,000.
It was $5,000. What's it worth now? $500,000. Mm-hmm. And I look at him, I said, you sure you didn't get that through your grandparents' will? No. Nope. They signed a deed. They deeded that property over to me. And I'm looking at him going, Houston, we have a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, because what have you done to that house lately? You know, how can we increase your basis to mitigate? You know, have you lived there two out of the last 5 years? Maybe we can take advantage of a principal residence exemption. I mean, where can we go relative to this? But that's where, when you don't plan on the front end, Mike, and you make a knee-jerk reaction, such as just, I want to see a deed with my grandchild's name on it, we don't think about what that actually means.
Yeah.
You know, that has a big-time consequence tax-wise. That we really love to have our clients come in, and we get that all the time. I love this classic scenario of everybody wants a deed. You come in the lawyer's office, I want a deed. And then you have to look at them in the eye and go, I know you want a deed, but you don't want a deed. And here's why you don't want a deed. You know, and a lot of times it does come down to these tax consequences. And what you want is a good estate plan. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to leave that asset in the most tax efficient manner as possible. And we hate it the other way when the bell has already been rung, so to speak, and we can't unring it.
Yeah.
And we want to be there for our clients and be able to make sure that we proactively get that plan in place so we don't run into the nightmare scenario of, oh my gosh, I got a huge tax problem and there's not really much we can do about it.
And that, you know, when you have a client where the bell has already rung and now you're trying to unring it, which you can't, the cost that they've already incurred by maybe being impetuous, exceeds what it would cost to sit down with you and Harbell and Collins to map out that plan. I know Cecil, talks about this all the time. You know, you need good legal advice, and it's not expensive compared to what expenses you might incur by doing it haphazardly. Correct?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Life and taxes, man. It never changes. But I hope my mom is listening today, because the annual gift is $15,000.
$15,000.
You can do it on December 31st and January 1 and double up.
Exactly.
Done for 2 years. Hope she's listening. So, call Andrew Foster today, 252-726-9050, or go online to Harvell and Collins. Thank you, Andrew.